following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Bibles. Turn, if you would, to Galatians 3:13. Hello? Galatians 3:13. Guys, this is just a simple little sermonette for Christianettes. Galatians 3:13. In fact, my notes are on one page. This is a good sign. One page, because it's kind of small print. Galatians 3:13. I've been teaching this several weeks. It's appropriating what's already yours, part three. And we saw this before. This is the classic verse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on our life through Jesus Christ. You know, what we saw is Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, those two entire chapters. I mean, those are bleak, dark chapters. Don't read those when you're down. Okay? They are about the curses and the maladies and the afflictions and the consequences of not obeying God's law. And they really get wicked. I mean, one of them gets down into the Jews would end up in cannibalism and end up in horror scattered across the nation. Really describes the wandering Jew. Describes the case. It's almost like you can see, I think it's in Deuteronomy 28, hints of the Holocaust itself that subsequently came centuries later. But the good news here is it says Jesus, when he died on the cross, he became a curse. He broke the power of the curse. So does New Testament believers, we don't have to suffer the afflictions of all of the curses that go along with breaking the law. Now, here's the misunderstanding. Most Christians believe that because Jesus did it on the cross, it's automatic. I'm saved. Jesus died on the cross. He paid the penalty. He broke all the curses. I can just live as I would, and the curses will not manifest in my life. And I beg to differ. Experience, okay, and observation will show you otherwise. Most Christians are walking around cursed. Most Christians, most even spirit-filled, charismatic, Pentecostal-type Christians, are walking around with all kinds of curses in their families, in their body, in their finances, in their relationships. You go, why? Well, I tell you why. It's real simple in Romans 10. How shall they hear except someone preach? No one is preaching the good news of deliverance. That has to be appropriated. Jesus Christ died, yes, but we have to day by day. He told us to pray a prayer. Give us this month what we need for the month. Can I hear an amen? Is that what he said? Give us, wouldn't you like on the first day of the year, Lord, would you just give me everything for 2008 so I don't have to pray again? You know, get it down, man. Just sleep in all that year because you got it. Dude, it's give us this what? Day! And you know what happened if they picked up the manna one morning? And they got a little bit more than they needed to. Figured I'm going to sleep in the next day. What happened to the manna that night? Can you imagine bread that started breeding worms in one night? Okay, and the next morning, in fact, if you slept in, it melted into the ground. In other words, the point is, it has to be appropriated. The grace of Jesus Christ to break curses in your relationships, in your health, in finances, in all of these, not in your kids. Guys, it has to be appropriated by the grace of God every day. And so the teaching I've been doing is appropriating what's already yours. It's ours. It's just we're not doing the right thing. Appropriating it by faith. It takes spiritual warfare. It takes resisting the devil. It takes fighting for it. Interesting, the whole Old Testament story of going into the promised land. They got the whole promised land. It's all yours, a land that flows with milk and honey. They went, man, they had glasses ready for the milk and jars ready for the honey, and they got over there and instead it was full of all kind of enemies and giants and all kind of junk. Remember that? And he said, oh, I forgot to tell you something. It's a land of flow, but you're going to have to take it step by step. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to do victory. You have to fight war. You have to seek me for wisdom to finally conquer the land. That's a perfect type of the Christian life. It's all yours, all the blessings in heaven and earth. But you got to get up every day and take up your cross and follow me and call on me and walk with me. It's not some assurity. That's why I don't believe in eternal salvation. Eternal life is something for those that have accrued it and reaped it by a life of faithful service to Jesus Christ. It's not something you got in your back pocket and I can do my own thing. Go, woe is you. You're going to be rudely awakened on Judgment Day. It's every day you have to get up and follow Jesus. He that endures to the end will be saved. Every day you get up and you just seek Jesus. Not long ago, somebody asked me, after I've been teaching about this for a while, I said, "Well, Chris, how do I mean, you make me nervous. You know, I don't have an assurity that I'll go to heaven. I mean, I just thought it was a given deal. How do I know for sure?" I said, "I can tell you how you know for sure." They said, "Why, why?" I said, "What is Jesus telling you to do right now? Are you doing that?" "Oh, yeah." Then don't worry. "For he that hears my word has eternal life." Can you hear that? Just do what Jesus says. And if you're not doing what Jesus says, repent and do what Jesus says. And then you can have a surety of eternal life. So we're going to go ahead and conclude Psalm 103. Is that a fast conclusion, man? Don't believe it for a minute. Calm down, Jenny. Psalm 103:1. You notice she's getting feisty in her old age? You know, Jenny told us Friday night that the word Jenny is a word for an old stubborn mule. A female mule. A female donkey. So I said, "Does that mean the name for a male donkey is David?" Okay. All right. I know about high-spirited women. Lord, help me. All right. Psalm 103. Okay, guys, look, Psalm 103. We've been looking at this the last few weeks. So I just want to look at... "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." What I submit to you is everything in this psalm that's the blessings and the benefits of Jesus, and it's amazing benefits. It's all predicated upon these two verses. That when you bless the Lord with all your soul, 100%, you're totally, utterly, 100% yielding and obedient to him, everything in the psalm works for you. It works. And people look at these things and say, "Well, that's why not my life." Well, let's go back to the condition to the promise. "Blessed is the Lord, O my soul, with all that's within me." And what I believe that means in a practical way is you come to Jesus every day, say, "Not my will, but what? That your will today, Jesus. I am going to obey you. I'm going to seek you. I want you. And you got to do whatever you got to do your will in me. Crush me, break me." You know, I love how we're singing about the cross today. I have to laugh. Everybody's singing. You look around. "Oh, the wonderful cross to lead me to die. I'm going to die." You know, and then about 3 hours later, you're in a situation where you have to utterly lose your rights. What comes up? So we've looked at the first two. "Who forgave all thy sins, who heals all thy diseases." This morning, I want to look at verse 4. Those are previous teachings, guys. Look at verse 4. We're going through these benefits, these appropriating what's already yours. Okay, we're just going to look at this one verse. That's it. And we're going to be concluded. "Who redeems your life from what?" You know the Hebrew is there? A pit. It's shakath, which means a pit. I am so glad for this one. How many of y'all have comprehension collision insurance on your car? You know, a lot of times you'll get a car, it's an old beat-up junker, so all you'll get is liability, you know, the state-mandated liability. You don't really care if it wrecks, you know, it's hardly worth the monthly. But if you buy a car and you're paying a note on it, it's got some equity in it, what do you get? Comprehension collision, because you don't want to end up, you know, walking around. You want to be able to at least get some kind of return for that. I would submit this is the comprehension collision clause of Psalm 103. "He redeems us from destruction," or from the pit. Keep your finger there and look at Psalm 40. This is my favorite verse about this. Psalm 40, verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of," the King James reads, "a horrible pit." Is that how your versions read? "Out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on a rock and established my goings. He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to my God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord." I can testify, and I'm going to just go out. Y'all are getting tired of hearing these testimonies, but you're going to hear it for the rest of my ministry. I'm going to testify that that's exactly what I went through this summer. That I had a dream of a pit back in May or June, and it was a horrible pit. And I was down in there, and it was blood and screaming, and it was a grate. You know, like a street grate. And there was somebody had their foot on the grate. And it was, I remember thinking, I'm down in this pit. I remember thinking, the only way anybody can get out of this pit is somebody from above has got to get that guy's foot off the grate. That I was way down in that pit. And I remember it kept bugging me. I think about that thing every couple of weeks, or every couple of days. I think, that was an ugly dream. sure glad it's hopeless for somebody else. You know, maybe God was telling me something to pray for. But then all of a sudden, I found myself faced with a physical malady that forced me to the emergency room and emergency surgery. And they discovered a tumor in my colon, cancerous. And frankly, had they not gotten it when they did, by the grace of God, it's very likely, thank God for modern medicine. You know, they were able to go and get it out. But in the days preceding a getting it out, I was walking there, you know, I was walking down the hall with Sherry, and I remember sharing with her, saying, wait a minute. It suddenly came together. I remember that dream. I was in that pit. Because the doctors had come in, and they'd given me an incredibly bleak prognosis. Said, man, this malady in your body, it's spread. I mean, it's spread all around your internal organs, and you just have very few months to live. That's what they said. I remember sitting there, and this was, I was sitting in the emergency room, and the emergency room doctor comes up and says, you know, you've got cancer, and you know, you're going to die in not too many months. What, have you ever wondered what your first response would be after someone tells you that? You know what I was able to say? I looked him right in the eyes and smiled and said, well, I'm glad I know Jesus. And I was thinking later, I am so glad I was able to say that. It didn't freak me out. Later on, I said, rats. And I got real upset because the main thing I was upset about is I want to finish out my call. I wasn't afraid to go. I just don't want to go early before my call. So I started bugging the Lord about that. And well, one thing led to another, and I went through the surgery, and then he manifested his presence, open vision. And the next morning I had that vision of the living waters. And in the next couple of days, weeks, man, phenomenal signs and wonders and words and, you know, miraculous coincidences, things appearing out of nowhere, dreams. It went on all the way till August 1st. And on August 1st, through a supernatural series of events, I encountered a gentleman out of South Florida that has a unique ministry of healing people with cancer over the phone. Go figure. And the trumpet player, Phil Driscoll's manager, calls me from Florida. And left a message. Remember that, Bo? He sent me an email. And I call him, and he says, yeah. No, I never even called him. I just called the number of the guy in Brownsville. And he prayed for me, and then from that point on, everything began to manifest evidence that God was healing me. Not only the physical thing, but all of the internal maladies inside that had been diagnosed. And I realized by August 1st, and then August 8th, it was sovereignly confirmed in four significant ways right here in this room. Through two dreams and just significantly confirmation. And I realized that Jesus pulled me out of the pit. Somebody from above got that guy's foot off the grate. I tell you what, he's put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto my God. And many shall hear it and fear and give rejoicing to the Lord. I am so grateful to Jesus. I went to my boss with Primerica. And I said, I'm going to continue to be a regional vice president. I said, my involvement with the business is shifting. I said, I'm going to go in a different direction. There's going to be a different priority in my life than there was before for the kingdom. Because I believe God's going to open doors. Guys, the good news is that's comprehension collision insurance. Can you hear me, man? I know in the beginning, all hell was at me. I mean, I had one night, I was as close to losing it. I mean, I was almost losing it one night. I mean, racked with terror and tormented and restless. And it was even these flowers that were in the room that cast a shadow of a tiger fixing to eat something. In the middle of the night, I'm looking at this and I'm freaking out. And I just kind of, I mean, I'm just hopeless and just no, just. And at that point, this little nurse comes in the room. Little sweet Hispanic lady. And just humbly tells me a story. How she laid hands on somebody given up for dead, and they were healed. And she prayed, and she lifted her voice to the Father in heaven for me that night in that dark hospital room and cried to Jesus. And I'm, you know, God is good. God is good. My worst night. Thank you, Jesus. He redeems us from destruction. You don't have to be afraid. Amen? Not to be afraid, man. Just obey Jesus. I wrote here, if I'm convinced, if your heart's right, he's got lots of angels around you. Like that motorbike thing. Or that night, July 4th, 1990, I was out for a walk and some guy ran up to me with no shirt on and a knife. And I was in flip-flops walking down in the park in the middle of 1 o'clock in the morning on Lockwood Street. And he was going to knife me. He was kicking me. And I'm out there praying, man, and freaking out. Nobody around. And he was some drug gangster guy. And I'm freaking out there. I'm going to die. And all of a sudden, somebody jumps out of nowhere, grabs him, pulls him against the fence, says, "Run, fool. Run, fool." So I ran with my flip-flops. I never went for a walk with flip-flops again. How many of y'all know that was an angel? When I ran about 4 to 30 feet, turned around, neither one were there. They were gone. God sends angels to protect us. God, how many of y'all just about deserved and just about were there ready to go, but Jesus saved you? I mean, right on the edge, and I mean, had he not intervened, you wouldn't be here today. Come on, how many of y'all? Just pure mercy, amen? Guys, be grateful to the Lord. You know, he gives us, a just man falls 7 times and rises again. He gives us new life. Now, let's conclude by right here, the second part of verse 4. Who crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hey, you know what? I love that. Loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, unfortunately, so many people are wearing other kind of crowns in their head. You know what it is? Anxious fears, mental torments, and restless thoughts. Their mind, rather than being crowned with mercy and kindness, their crown, what they wear every day, is fears and torments and anxiety and worry, mind control, tormented. The promise here, he crowned you with loving kindness. I wrote here that Matthew, Mark, and John in the Gospels all spoke of Jesus Christ wearing a crown of thorns. And you know what? We've heard of that so many times, but a crown of thorns. I don't know about you, but I hate pain and I really hate needles. But he was like a bed of needles thrust into his head, piercing into his skull, piercing, horrible pain, blood splurting out. Christ was crowned with a crown of thorns, and his skull was pierced with pain. And I would submit, he took the pain of piercings so that he could crown us with a loving kindness and tender mercies. And he could deliver our mind from the piercings, the spikes of the enemy. Because the enemy shoots fiery darts and he shoots at your mind. And the good news is Jesus has given us the grace if we would appropriate it. And you know the way you appropriate? You pull it out in Jesus' name. You pull it out. If something's tormenting you in your mind, stop. Submit yourself to God. Lord, forgive me for listening to that voice. Resist the devil and what? He'll flee. Some of them will sit there and just let that thing tool you around and torment you for hours. Stop. Father, forgive me for listening, for believing that was me. You know, a lot of it's familiar voices, familiar spirit. We think it's ourself. Forgive me for listening to that voice that's nagging on me about somebody else and putting them down, or nagging on me about tomorrow, or nagging about my finances, or nagging on me about this. Forgive me, Jesus, for listening to a voice that's not you. Forgive me. Satan, get thee behind me. I pull out the name of the Lord. I resist you. You know what's amazing? When you resist the devil and he flees and you get still, then the Holy Ghost speaks to you. Then you hear the still small voice that answers the whole dilemma, that answers the problem. You know, only on the positive side. You know, maybe, you know, a demon's been beating you up because somebody hurt you and you're really mad and he keeps speaking voice and you resist that thing, you stand firm. Then the Holy Ghost comes, he says, look, here's the way to solve the problem. Here's what you need to do. Go to him or love on him or forgive him. Oh, it's a finance thing. You know, here's the way to do it. And he'll quicken something out of nowhere. How many of that ever happened to you? When we finally resist the devil, the mercy and the loving kindness and the tender mercies come upon us. And we can loose that crown. I want to pray that we get those nasty crowns off our head. How many of y'all suffering with that this morning? Y'all suffer with a crown of torment. Something's been piercing your mind. Come on. Fears, anxieties, worries. Come on, man.
You know, Jesus died and he suffered so that we could appropriate grace. And like I said, the problem is appropriating what's already yours. It's so silly we suffer this stuff. Just an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure.
So say this after me. Jesus, forgive me for listening to the voices of fear and anxiety and worry and doubt, worrying about tomorrow, worrying about things, worrying about people, worrying about stuff. Forgive me, Jesus, for listening to voices that inflate me with pride or depress me with depression. Forgive me, Jesus, for listening to voices and buying the lies of the devil. I ask for your mercy this evening. I'm helpless before these things without your strength. Now, receive forgiveness right now. You've asked him to forgive you. Just receive forgiveness. Mean it. Now, say this after me. Satan, you're the one. You come with fiery darts. You're my adversary. And the Bible says, if I submit myself to God, resist the devil, he will flee. I command you to leave my mind, my imagination, and my thought life now. Hand of the Lord. Come on, resist the devil. Tell him to go. I break you in Jesus' name. Mind control spirits, I break your power. Witchcraft spirits, I break your power. Fear and anxiety and torment, I break your power. Go. Go. Take a deep breath. Go. I command you to leave. Every time, look, Jesus Christ took the crown of thorns, and we pull the piercings out in Jesus' name. I pull out the piercings in the name of Jesus. I pull out the spikes of fear. I pull out the spikes of terror. I pull out the spikes of anxiety in the name of Jesus. Come on, take a deep breath. Exhale it in the name of Jesus. I break its power. Criticalism, judgmentalism, particularly what I'm sensing a lot this morning, is worrying about tomorrow. Some of y'all are really carrying that. I actually feel that right now. Kind of right here in my chest, like worrying about this week, worrying about, look, there's a lot of people financially, what's going on in the world. I've had a lot of clients come and says, I'm not worried about any of it. I'm not worried about any of this. God's in charge. Everything's going working along fine. It's going to be fine. I'm trusting God. Amen? So I break that spirit of fear. I break that worrying about tomorrow. Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Forgetting the things and trusting unto the Lord. Now let's all stand. I want to speak a blessing of peace. Now we're going to hear from the Holy Ghost. Come Holy Ghost. Right now, turn to the Lord. Turn your heart to the Lord. Lord, I pray you would now speak in that still small voice the answer to the dilemma. The solution, Lord. What we've needed to hear, that the enemy's been trying to fill us with lies. So Lord, to come with truth in the inward part. Now! In the name of Jesus, to solve the thing that we've been struggling with in the name of Jesus. We can take up the cross we sang about. We can face the cross and find life. Come, Holy Ghost. Truth. Truth. Self-denial. Love covers a multitude of sin. Forgiveness. Mercy. Loving kindness. Giving thanks in the midst of everything. Trusting God in the fire. So the form of the fourth can appear. Jesus. I give you peace in Jesus' name this morning. I give you peace. Look at me. I give you peace. Look at me. I give you peace in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive the peace of Jesus. I give you in his name. Jesus said, let your peace. Amen. Let your peace be upon them. Transfer the peace this morning, Jesus.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.